From KMUW Wichita.
From Toronto, Ontario.
And from Armenia, Spain.
This is You're Saying It Wrong. Let's talk words. Let's talk words. Let's talk misspelled words. Some words, for some reason, you just never get the hang of them. I'm Fletcher Powell, host and producer at KMUW in Wichita, Kansas. And joining me, as they do each week, language experts and New York Times bestselling authors Kathy Petras and Ross Petras. Hey there, Kathy. Hey, Ross. I was just thinking about this movie that I've since seen, but when I first learned about it, it confused me because the title of the movie is A Zed and Two Noughts. It's like, what in the world is a Zed and two noughts? So it turns out what they mean is zoo, Z-O-O. And I realize that noughts aren't exactly O's. They're more zeros, right? It's a very strange movie. Peter Greenaway is the director. Love him. Strange guy. Anyway, that Zed part also threw me because at the time I didn't exactly know what in the heck a Zed was.
Wow,
that's interesting.
This was a while ago. Give me credit. I'm talking decades ago. But
oh, sure.
Oh, good. Okay. I got a little
but
tense.
I mean, growing up in American school, you definitely don't learn about a Zed.
You don't, actually. I forgot, Ross, you and I just knew it from reading British books so much as little kids.
Yeah, when we were overseas, we got mostly British books. So we read them. It was Zeds all the time. So we knew it. But it, when I came here, it took me a while to get used to people saying Zed for Z. And now I've gotten to the point where, I mean, this is sort of boring, but I go back and forth. So I go, Zed, like that. Like I stutter.
You do, actually. I think just go with Zed. Zed has become what you say. Just embrace the Zed, Ross.
But anyway, Fletcher did a brilliant segue into the first part of our show, which is this. And actually, let's ask Fletcher the question. We got an email from Zach in Brooklyn.
I'm sorry, I just want to interject. I love the fact that Zach, which begins with a Z.
Wow.
Did you notice that? I was wondering if that's one of the reasons he asked about it.
Zach with a Z said this. Mm-hmm. The letter Z corresponds with the Greek zeta, right? And zeta is, which in modern Greek would be zeta, but whatever. And zeta is the sixth letter in the Greek alphabet. How did it end up being the last letter in our alphabet?
Hmm.
And that's a good question. And Fletcher, do you have a good answer to that?
No, I don't. I'm not even sure I have a bad answer to that now that I think about it. I've never considered that before. I mean, I think way more often about how omega is the last letter in the Greek alphabet. And why don't we have something like that at the end?
Mm-hmm.
But I've never really thought about why Z ended up at the very end.
It's funny because I got to admit, until I saw this email, I didn't think about it either. Yeah. I was just like, yeah, Z, it's at the end of the alphabet. It's the last letter, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You know, I mean, we all...
Kathy and I both did, and we both learned something from that. And so, though, I was thinking of one thing. If you probably told an ancient Greek or even a modern Greek, you know, I want the whole run of things, A to Z.
That's not very much. Yeah.
Okay, here's this. That's all you want in your hero? All right. Okay, I thought it was interesting. One of the theories or one of the things that people suppose, they go, okay, maybe the Z is last because it's a frequency thing. I mean, if you arrange letters how often they're used, Z is last. Q is second to last. J is third to last.
Hmm.
I mean, I remember that as a kid, E-T-A-O-I-N. I remember that from Alfred Fernald, Private Eye or whatever, those kids' books. That's a fun thought. Z, okay, it's last in frequency, ergo last in alphabet, but that's not the case at all.
Let's go back first to the origin. Like, where did Z come from? The Greeks borrowed it or took it from the Phoenician Zain, which is the seventh letter in Phoenician alphabet. And it was like a glyph that looked sort of like a weapon, two armies confronting each other.
Oh.
Then the Greeks, when the Greeks started deciding to write things, they picked up Zain and they called it Zeta and they moved it back one.
Why did they move it? Do you know?
Because being Greek, Catherine.
Other than just to make it like our way.
I have to say. It sounds like our national characteristic. It's ours now. We're going to do it differently.
We want it in sixth place.
Okay, then the Romans borrowed it.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't really like it. In fact, and this was really interesting, I did not know this at all.
I didn't either.
Basically, there's some, we think we've talked about rhoticism where things become like an R sound and you talk about R. And the Z sound in Greek, I mean in Latin, became sort of like an R for a while. So then the Roman censor Appius Claudius Caecus said, we're getting rid of this letter from the alphabet. And they could do those things in those days. They got rid of it completely.
Well, that also, though, we were saying how Greeks, it figures that Greeks would say, I don't want it seventh, I want it sixth. It also sounds like Romans would go, I don't like this at all. Yeah. Forget it.
I think the whole thing was really interesting on that. But then Kathy has a little codicil to this whole thing.
So that all happened around 300 BCE. There was no more, we had no, the Z is gone. Zeta, not in Roman alphabet. Mm-hmm.
Who needs it?
But around 200 years later, they had loan words, which we have in English, we've talked about a lot, that were borrowed from the Greek. Now, the Greek still had Zeta, okay?
What is this weird thing?
But at that time, the Romans in their alphabet had gotten, since they got rid of the Z, they had a G there instead. So suddenly, what are we going to do with the Zeta that's back in the language? It's like, just add it at the end. No one will notice.
Oh, my goodness.
It's been there all along.
And Appius Claudius Caecus was dead, so we're fine with this.
Wow. Oh, man.
So there it is. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing. That feels like when we pave over green spaces, and then we have to find ways to approximate the green spaces that we already paved over.
That's a great analogy. You're right, exactly.
It actually keeps reminding me of a Monty Python sketch. I can see them talking about this.
Oh, that's amazing. Wow.
Yeah, so that's why it's last.
But meanwhile, here in Canada, we've now got I'm not going to be as mean as saying he's like Caecus, but we have a prime minister who's gotten a lot of controversy here, or should I say controversy, whatever they say in England. The Prime Minister of Canada, and Canada uses the Z like the Americans do.
Uh-huh.
Now, Carney worked in, he was the Central Bank of England, whatever it's called, Bank of England governor, and he picked up using the S. Like, how do you spell, let's just try something, Fletcher. How would you spell globalization? Spell it.
G-L-O-B. Alization.
Mm-hmm.
He's now throwing in the S instead of the Z.
Oh, Carney.
There's been a lot of stuff written about this, actually, in Canadian, opinion pieces.
This line quickly here. He obviously has picked up some pretensions while he was there, Professor Chambers, a prominent Canadian linguist, said at the University of Toronto. But he said, so far, bless him, he has not resorted to G-A-O-L for jail. I hate that British spelling.
Oh, my. How funny. Now, you guys, Canadians call it Zed, though, right? Not Z.
They call it Zed, but they spell globalization
with a Z.
With a Z, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, the thing with Zed and Z is that Americans are the only ones who say Z. The rest of the English-speaking world uses Zed.
Yeah, that's so
Americans
crazy.
Americans are the Z team, the rest of the world Zed team.
Was that a Noah Webster thing? Like, how did we end up with Z?
Noah Webster popularized it. You're absolutely right. Because it rhymed with B, C, D. It was like more euphonious. It was nice and neat.
If you sing the alphabet song, Z doesn't work at all. It's just like a big thud at the end.
Although maybe that's a good idea.
Oh, it's done. Z.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, because the end of that song, you always have to go, now you know the ABCs.
Oh, well, that's true. Yeah. Maybe if we just cut it off, then it would be better.
X, Y, Z. I like it.
I like it, too. It's a flat. Although I want to throw something out. I just found this out just a couple of minutes ago. When we should really do a show on Webster. But one, he was doing a lot of innovations. Some of them stuck, you know, like with the English, you know, draft, we say D-R-A-F-T, and et cetera. But one of his innovations involved a Z. He wanted to spell... He didn't put it in the dictionary, but he wanted to spell his H-I-Z. Mm-hmm. And was would be W-A-Z.
I think it should be W-U-Z if you're going to do was. It right. Mm-hmm. Was.
You should go talk to him, Kathy.
I would if he were around. I think he and I would get along, actually, because I like all that. I like phonetic spelling much better. I think a Z is better for was, because otherwise it's sort of like was.
Yeah, I don't. It's interesting, because I like written word, and I like looking at the, and I like the history behind the word.
It's funny, though. I really like the concept of simplifying, streamlining spelling. I really do.
Yeah, I think that would be a difficult adjustment if we just all of a sudden did it.
Yeah, I agree.
But, I mean, we have done that in a lot of ways. Webster helped to do that. And so, had we taken it even further, I don't think we'd think it was crazy now.
Be worried about it. It would seem normal.
We'd say, why is this different here? and we'd all say, Webster. So
I'm just wondering, what has recently changed spellings? I'm curious. What spellings have recently changed? Because Fletcher was saying, I didn't like the cut spelling movement when they did. Remember Winnie the Pooh spelled weirdly and language would be spelled L-A-N-G-A-U-J? I mean, that I thought just didn't, that jarred me even as a child. That was just too much. It's like, don't overdo it. But I'm...
I would bet that there are a lot of spellings that have come in alongside the traditional spelling. And both exist, but I'm not so sure about actually changing a whole word so that now we spell it that way.
Yeah,
I don't know either.
I just was looking, and I'm finding instead things from the 19th century, and I love this. Alexander Ellis, a mathematician and philologist, published a book in 1848 titled A Plea for Phonetic Spelling. He wanted scissors to be S-I-Z-E-R-Z. He's a man after my own heart, but I don't know. He worked out that there were 81,997,920 possible different ways of spelling the word scissors.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, moving right along, speaking of spelling, to 10 of the most commonly misspelled words.
We decided you hadn't had a pop quiz in a while, Fletcher. So.
And our header is 10 of the most commonly most misspelled words. So we're being a little bit redundant, but not really.
Okay. According to whom?
Us.
Kathy and Ross Petras.
Lovely.
Language experts.
These are culled from numerous lists. Mm-hmm. So that sounds like a nice way of saying it. They're culled, scientifically curated. So for Fletcher's delicatation.
And now you have spelled some of these over the past. These have come up in certain lists that we've done before.
Okay.
But these are the top 10. This is like the
fantastic
the busters.
I love
if you
it.
Will.
I love it.
And we might ask you why, like a little bit of the background as to why it is like it is.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let's start. Occasion.
Occasion. Occasion is just O-C-C-A-S-I-O-N.
Correct.
Do people have trouble with where to put the double letter? Like which letter needs to
yes.
be doubled? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It does feel at first like maybe there should be two S's. Once you actually write that down or visualize it in your head, that looks like nonsense.
Exactly. That's often the problem. People do actually, more often than not, they do both a double C and a double S.
Okay.
Is the most common misspelling. Then single C, double S, and then obviously the right. But that's the problem, is everybody thinks there's two S's. But when you look at it, it really is the tip-off.
Yeah.
The minute you type it
exactly.
or write it that way, you go, it's wrong. But the problem is S-I-O-N is the same as T-I-O-N. And if that's what you have to remember, like the shun is the same, and you would never do a double T.
Sure.
Yeah, it just sort of merges in. The sound merges together, so then the T is lost and the S stays in that sense. And the S becomes the T becomes an S.
Yeah.
Occasion, because you just how you say it. Mm-hmm. Next word is occurred.
Occurred. Ooh. That one gives me kind of shivers. Because darn it. All right. So we're talking about double letters again. I'll bet a lot of these are double letter problems. Occurred, O-C-C-U-R-R-E-D. Two R's.
You
right.
got it.
Okay.
Very
got
good.
It.
Okay.
But yeah, you did what I always do. You have to pause, don't you? You can't. It doesn't just flow out, does it?
Yeah. You got to remember. So tell me why do we double the R there? I don't completely understand. I guess maybe that's just what we do. I mean, like inferred, that has two R's.
We tend to double it. Yeah, we tend to double
that. Well, it's because of the pronunciation. With one R, it would be cured, not curd.
Yeah, remember we talked about that, Fletcher. We talked about that with the vowel blank vowel. Remember that we talked about that? The vowel blank consonant. I mean,
vowel consonant vowel.
Yeah, exactly. And then the ob part is that one also gets people. The OQACOCC gets people because in Latin it would have been the word would have been ob, and then the OB cord it would be. Mm. And then the O and then the B is mashed up. The ob means it means in this case against, over, for, and then the cur comes from to run. Mm-hmm. Curare is to run in Latin.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of mushed together, but the B merges with the C, and it becomes OCC.
Wow.
Okay, now this one is a killer. This one I cannot spell for the life of me. I know it, but I always do it wrong. Okay? Paraphernalia.
This one I know, because there was a store named this. What? That was like the cool store, so.
I think, I'm trying to, just so everybody knows who can't see me, which is most of you, I'm not writing these down, so I'm trying to visualize them, and it's a lot better for me if I write them down, but I'm not going to. P-A-R-A-P-H-E-R. N-A-L-I-A, paraphernalia.
Wow!
It's paraphernalia, you're right. Yeah.
You're right. Well, I am really impressed with you, Fletcher.
Thanks. Because that R is the issue. No, everybody thinks it's paraphernalia or paraphernalia.
How do you pronounce it? Say the word, Fletcher.
Paraphernalia. I guess I do say the R. Are you supposed to?
I don't know, actually. Yeah, Kath, you say it.
I say paraphernalia. I don't have an R. I say paraphernalia.
I say a schwa sound, paraphernalia. I do too.
Although the is sort of a New York R.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. Interesting. I'm looking up what the Merriam-Webster pronunciation is.
Yeah, I'm looking at it too. They have paraphernalia.
Yeah.
But I would always say paraphernalia. I would do a spelling pronunciation of that if I had to do it. I mean, now I wouldn't because I've learned it, but... apparently, we did research on this, and everyone, Colley Cibber, the poet laureate of England, he was not a very good poet, but he spelled it P-A-R-A-F-P-H-O-N-A-L-I-A.
Paraphernalia. Interesting.
And it was very...
There's another guy. Yeah, it was always misspelled. I think that we forget that R. Well, it's not a common thing. The whole structure of the word is not one that you run across. Parafer.
Yeah, it's interesting, though. We did a little bit of dug back into the etymology of it. And the word comes from an ancient Greek word, pherne, with the R, meaning dowry. Para means besides, and the alia means collection. So paraphernalia technically meant a woman's collected property in addition to her dowry. And then I noticed something weird, because if you do funalia, fun basically means like murder, or it can also mean sound, like phonograph or whatever. So it could either mean a collection of things besides murder, or a collection of things besides sounds or voices.
I like that. I'm going to start saying, so when I'm talking about paraphernalia, which is true, though, I'm not speaking of murder.
A collection of things besides murder.
Yeah, it's a distinction that you might need.
Oh, my.
Okay, the next one is... easy, but Oxford Dictionary has this as the most commonly misspelled word.
Oh, boy.
Interestingly enough. The word is publicly, which is a basic word.
Yeah, I know exactly why this is commonly misspelled. It's public, P-U-B-L-I-C, then just L-Y, publicly. But what you really, really, really want to do is make it publicly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. C-A-L-L-Y.
Yep. Logically, that seems like you should do that. L-O-G-I-C-A-L-L-Y.
Logically.
Well, that's the rule, though. The usual rule is that a word ends in I-C, you add A-L-L-Y.
Yeah.
It's funny, though, because there's a bunch of words. The L-Ys always throw me when it comes to spelling. I have a tendency to want to do A-L-L-Y for almost everything. Because there's a bunch that are I-L-Y, too, that I panic with L-Ys.
Oh, yeah.
I do, too. I don't like them. I agree with you, Kathy.
So why is public L-Y instead of A-L-Y? Why doesn't it follow the rule? I'm thinking of, like, tragically,
Tragically.
My first thought is that there's nothing that's publical, right? So why would there be a publicly? But there's nothing that's tragical either, is there?
Well, there used to be in Old English. I mean, in
tragical.
I've seen that in old books. Yes.
Could it be because public used to be spelled P-U-B-L-I-C-K?
Oh.
Just a thought. I have no idea.
No,
just
because tragic used to be spelled I-C-K as well. Hmm. Magically. They used to also be spelled with K. Webster actually got rid of that, so.
My pal.
Yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting question, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing someone said, I'm not sure this is true, the IC adjectives come from Greek and Latin, and the convention is you do, like we said. But publicly, what Kathy said, public, or you said, Fletcher, public never did the stable publical form.
Mm-hmm.
So publicly one basically came early and it became publicly, they didn't really think of it that way. And that's a poor answer, but that's all I can really think of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm finding OED has publicly first appeared in 1534. Publical came in 1450. Before that, there is a publical.
There was a publical.
So then it should have been publicly. Then.
Yeah.
But then it could be a sound. Hear what I just said that. Publicly. Mm-hmm. It sounds weird.
Yeah.
Publicly is, I think maybe it just could be euphonious. It sounds better to say publicly. You kind of chop out the word. Publicly sounds
But you
hard
don't
to
pronounce
say.
The A and the others. You don't say,
magically,
you don't pronounce
magically,
the N tragically.
Tragically.
Magically.
Tragically.
I also just found that there was a frantically.
Like with just the
without
L-Y.
An A.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Frantically.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe it's just one of those things. I mean, we see that.
I think it is,
sometimes.
Actually. I think it is just, the, you know.
Yeah, for those of you who can't see Kathy either, this was a glorious shrug she just made. One of those things, big old shrug. I mean, sometimes with English, it is just a big old shrug.
Uh-huh. More often than not, yeah. I would add.
I'm looking here. Someone says, I don't know if this is true, but they said, sort of what Kathy was saying, there was tragically, someone said that they... Old English had early modern English had tragically. Yes. Tragically inclined. T-R-A-G-I-C-K-L-Y.
Hmm.
So there are instances in earlier English.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to still have problems spelling publicly, okay? That's just like, let's cut to the chase here. I will continue to have problems with it.
Well, apparently Sir William Alexander, Earl of Stirling, spelled tragically, T-R-A-G-I-C-K-L-Y. And if he did it, if it's good enough for him, I'm going to do it too.
You better be careful. We're going to find out some horrible things about Sir William Alexander.
Yeah, really?
Earl of Stirling. Yeah. I like the name, though. And it's his perfect.
Yes.
Okay, Ross, I'm going to ask you to read the next one because I'm going to pronounce it poorly.
Okay, the next word is peremptory.
Peremptory, right. Right, right.
But that's the problem. Right. That already gives it away.
Yeah, it does.
It does. I'm sorry, but
pronounce it. You got to say the word, right? Because we're not trying to preempt something, right? We're trying to perempt something.
Exactly.
P-E-R-E-M-P-T, peremptory. Sorry.
And this is one where you do metathesis and you change it and it becomes preemptory is what most people say.
Right.
Ergo, that's how most people spell it. They reverse the E and the R.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which, totally understandable. We talk about preempting things. We don't talk about perempting things.
Exactly. Now, my question is, though, do you guys really say peremptory?
I don't ever use that word.
I don't either.
That's easier. I don't know that I do either, but if I did, I would say peremptory. I know it's wrong, but I would.
I agree with you. I would say it too, but I don't use it either. One thing, though, is it comes from the Latin word, to destroy. And there is a Latin noun, it would be peremptor, which would be the destroyer.
Oh, the peremptor.
Ooh, Ross. The destroyer.
Ross,
Petrus, peremptor. Yes. I like how it sounds. Peremptor.
That's cool.
Yeah. I will decimate your village.
You need a hat, though, right? You need a helmet when you say that. I'm sorry. You do. It would accommodate you.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
This is a killer to me. But if you write it down, you can see it instantly.
Yeah. but I'm not gonna write it down. This is the rule I've made for myself for some reason today. I'm not gonna write it down.
Fletcher, you preemptor.
I feel
preemptor, Gabby.
Sorry.
I think you brought this one up before, and I think I got it wrong, and I think I'm gonna get it wrong again. Golly, and you know, I mean, like the M is the problem here. ACCOM, ODATE, one M, two M's. I was gonna say two M's. I was going to say two M's first, and then I second-guessed
myself.
Russ,
you felt him almost say the right thing, didn't you? Because I was like, you almost had it, Fletcher.
See, my gut said two M's, and I thought, okay, I've gotten this wrong before, so I went ahead and switched it. Gosh,
I hate that.
It. Yep. So it should be two C's, two M's.
Two C's, two M's. Exactly. That's the easy way to do it. Actually, the cum is a intensifier, intensive prefix. It's cum. It would become from, it'd be ad, and then the D merges with the C for cum. So then you have A-C-C-O-M. Cum is a word meaning commodus, fit, satisfactory, but it's intensifier here, and modus is measure. And then the cum modus, you have one C for cum, and then one M for cum, and then one M for modus.
Mm, okay.
If you want the etymology of it.
You know, it helps.
Although, I'm just looking at if it comes from a Commodore, only has one M.
This is one of those Latin things, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Commodore does. You're right.
But Commodore itself has two M's.
Yep.
So why'd they do that?
Because there was a guy called Appius Clodius Claudius.
I got a few things to say to him. Noah Webster and I are going to have a chat with him.
Okay, this one's a weird one. Liquefy. You probably know how to spell it, but it's very commonly misspelled for very logical reasons.
Yeah. Liquefy is actually E-F-Y, right? L-I-Q-U.
Yep, you got it.
L-I-Q-U-E-F-Y. Totally, totally unexpected, honestly. We know the word liquid, and that would be L-I-Q-U-I-D. So why would liquefy not be I-F-Y? Me, I don't know.
Well, Fletcher joined the club. I think it's a... I guess it's...
But it's not the only one, right? It's not the only one where the I.
No, that's
turns
what I was just
going to
ask you. Can you think of a few? There's three others that are not uncommon words. That
good. Ask Fletcher this.
Yeah.
Ask Fletcher this.
Is putrefy one of them?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, very good.
Putrefy is the one I always forget.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's the only one I can think of.
the other two look really weird. Even when you write them, they look sort of weird.
Mm-hmm. I'll bet liquefy looks really weird if you write it out properly. What else? What are the other two?
Okay, I am stupefied.
Stupefy, yeah.
By our rarefied language.
Rarefy, I also get that. Stupefy, yeah. I'm good at with the E. Rarefy, I have a problem with.
Rarefy would have gotten me, I think.
Putrefy is the one that I don't get, because it looks like it doesn't look right.
Yeah.
No, they really don't. Liquefy looks sort of right. Putrefy, stupefy, and rarefy look wrong.
Well, liquefy is the hard one, because you spell liquid with an I. Liquid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but you spell stupid with an I too.
And putrid.
But this is not stupid.
I know. Just kidding. No. I know.
Speaking of stupid, I've been sick.
Although you do spell putrid with an I.
Mm-hmm. With an I. That's the other one. Yeah, rarefy, you just spell rare. So, I mean.
Yeah.
Okay, this is an interesting one, Fletcher. Pastime.
Pastime. Oh, sure. This one, I'm a baseball fan, so I do happen to know that this is simply P-A-S-T-I-M-E. It is not past time. And the reason, maybe we've talked about this before, I don't know, or maybe I've just thought about it before. The reason is that it's something that passes the time, right? It's not
right.
Time
exactly.
In the past. Yeah.
As opposed to it's not a compound word that ends and begins with the same letter, like underrate or whatever.
Right.
This one throws me, though, I've got to admit. This is one where when I see it, I know it. But mm-hmm. when I first start doing it, if you just asked me, I'd hesitate for a second.
This one, I know it, but I think in junior high or whatever, I learned how to spell it and it stuck with me. Just like heinous, which I learned too. I remember the two words I learned in seventh grade or whatever. But pastime doesn't look correct. Write it down.
With two T's or with one?
Just as one. I don't like how it looks. Either way.
Well, it looks like Yeah, I hate it, actually, and I don't think it should ever be written. It looks like with one S, it's past team.
Yeah.
You know? And it looks like a farina.
Or yeah, look, our French something or other, a French pastry or something. Yeah.
Mm.
And then past time with two T's looks bad.
Yeah.
And then past time with two S's looks bad. I think it's one of those words that you really can't spell well in English.
Okay, and we'll do one more here and then save the grand finale for the opening of the next episode. How's that sound?
Okay, good.
I like it. We're superseding a word.
Ha ha. Ha ha. This one, I am positive we've talked about before because I got it wrong.
But will you overcorrect yourself yet again?
Yeah, like with accommodate. Supersede is super S-U-P-E-R. Seed is S-E-D-E.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ha.
Very good, Fletcher.
That one's hard. That one's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But there's a good reason for it, though, right?
Do you know? Yes. Let's see if you know that. I'm curious.
No, I don't. Wait. Seed means with an S. I don't know what the full word would be, but it means something like to sit on top of, right?
Yes!
Well, Fletcher, sedere. Wow. Sedere in Latin means to sit.
Yeah.
You're completely, I'm very proud of you.
Thank you. I learned it all from you.
And you're sitting above something or whatever, and you're kind of going over it. Perfect. Super meaning above in that case.
Whereas the C-E-D, we have like intercede or concede and stuff.
Uh-huh.
That comes from is it cadere, Ross, to move? Is that how it's pronounced?
Yeah.
It's C-E-D-E-R-E. It's another Latin word. And that is a different root.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the temptation is because supersedes, are there any other S-E-D-E common words, I'm saying? I can't think of any. Whereas you've got, I mean, like, as I said, you've got like what? Concede, intercede.
I'm trying to think of more, too.
Precede.
Yeah.
But the point is there's not any other S-E's, are there? Supersede is the only verb ending in S-E-D-E.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't see any others really here. Particularly.
Yeah, so that's why, I mean, in fairness, why would you spell it? I think that it would be easier if we just like switched it to the C.
Mm-hmm.
Or switched the others to the S.
Yeah, but then you'd have to switch a lot of them. This way you just have
that's
to switch
true.
One, right?
Yeah.
Channeling my inner Noah. Oh, before we go, I want to tell people, please, two things. We always love emails, and we're getting a lot, which is always fun. And secondly, give us a good rating somewhere.
Oh, yes, please. If you're listening to us.
It'll be very nice.
Yeah, wherever you're listening to us, if it allows you to rate us and even better review us, then, yeah, do that. It bumps us up in those godforsaken algorithms.
Hey, we should talk
Which
about
is an
algorithm.
Arabic word, I was just
we're
going to
talk about that next week.
Oh. A little tease. You're Saying It Wrong is part of the NPR network and is produced in the studios of KMUW in Wichita, Kansas by me, Fletcher Powell. Kathy Petrus records from her home in Armilla, Spain. Ross Petrus from his home in Toronto, Ontario, in Canada. Torin Anderson composed our theme music. Our digital team is Beth Golay and Carly Cooper. Carly Cooper is also our video editor. You can subscribe to our channel on YouTube. You can find all of our past episodes by subscribing to the You're Saying It Wrong podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, or by visiting us at kmuw.org. If you have a question for Kathy and Ross, if you'd like to suggest a topic or you just want to reach out, you can email me at powell@kmuw.org or email them at kandrpetrus@gmail.com. You can also record a voice memo of yourself asking your question. You might get your voice heard on air. Or you can download the KMUW app and press the Talk to Us button. You can find Kathy and Ross's books pretty much anywhere you get books, and a handful of them are also available on audiobook, read by the authors themselves. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.